holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. If you are third grade and down, you can head to Kids Rock out this door, right, down and around from the balcony, or straight through here, whichever way you need to go. If you're staying in here, turn with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 24, and we're going to go through Acts chapter 12, through Acts chapter 13, verse 3. So, about five verses this morning, but there is a lot there for us to see. Think of something with me as you go there in your copy of God's Word. And I do want, by the way, I want to encourage you to use your copy of God's Word. Some of you are newer to the faith, or you just haven't made a habit of this. Just like your device or your hard copy of God's Word, just get used to navigating that thing. Like, get used to God's Word in your hands and be able to know where to go and how to get there. And doing that on Sunday morning will help you do that, okay? So, Acts chapter 12, into Acts chapter 12, verse 24 is where we'll start this morning. So, think about something with me, a pressure cooker. You put it in there, you close the lid tight, and I'm getting used to this thing. It's like, got handles up here to grab. Y'all get ready. Can't do that with that little thing I've been using lately. Pressure cooker. You put something in there and it pressurizes it. It can be dangerous if you don't do it right, but it changes what's inside of it. The pressure changes what's inside of it. We find that to be true for human beings too, right? For us, we see pressure do something to individuals and even groups of people. We've seen that in our nation over the last 12 months, right? The pressure of everything that's happened has kind of done some things to us, right? Even throughout the world. We see it in sports. We see stars rise to the surface when it's the bottom of the ninth and there's two outs and it's a full count and bases are loaded. And either somebody, the pitcher or the batter, is going to rise to the surface as a victor in that. Others aren't really made for pressure. They collapse under it. They hide from it. Some people say it's fight or flight. Some of us take flight when pressure comes, right? And in Acts, the reason I'm saying all this is because I want us to think about this in this way. In Acts chapter 12, the end of it, if you were with us when we were walking through Acts towards the beginning of last year and the end of 2019, we see this mounting pressure in the world on the church. And there's a question that kind of arises to the surface if we're paying attention as we walk through the book of Acts. What did the individual Christians do in response to that pressure in the church, on the church? What did the church do, and what was the Holy Spirit? What was God doing with the church in the midst of all this pressure that was being put on the church? Did they take flight? Did they fight? Were they clutch, as we call some baseball players? What happened to individual Christians, to the church, and what did God do in the midst of all this pressure that was being put on the church? Y'all ready to look at that? I'll go ahead and say this. It's a tad bit relevant for us today, right? Just a tad. We'll see that become clearer and clearer as we walk through this passage today. Let's bow our hearts and ask the Lord to lead us. Father, we love you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just give us understanding. to understand your word, what it meant then, what it means now, how we are supposed to take the truth of your word and work it into our lives. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would do that this morning. God, if there's any among us, any listening that are here and don't know you, have yet to surrender their life to you, God, I pray that you would just make them hungry for the truth of your word right now. Maybe their plan is to tune out this portion of the service, but God, I pray that you would tune their hearts in, that you would lead them to repentance and faith today. Lord, for us that know you, God, I pray, we pray, Lord, that you would use this time to make us more like you. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, so a little bit of background of what's going on. Walk us up to Acts chapter 12 quickly. At the beginning of Acts, the church is born. The Holy Spirit comes on those who had trusted Jesus, and the church is born. There's just a few at first in Acts chapter 2. And then more and more people in the city of Jerusalem started coming to faith in Jesus. More and more, more and more, more and more. And the church grew and grew and grew. And the church wasn't a building. It wasn't a campus of some kind where people went to. It was simply the gathering of all those who had placed faith in Jesus. And the more that the church grew in Jerusalem, the more the pressure grew against the church. So let me give you a picture of what that looked like. In Acts chapter 4 and 5, you can just jot these down, go back and read through these chapters. Acts chapters 4 and 5, two of the leaders of the church were arrested. They were arrested and they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus or about Jesus anymore. And they told the authorities, you do what's right in your own eyes, we're going to do what's right before the Lord, which means we're going to keep preaching about Jesus. And they were warned and let go. Keep reading through the book of Acts and you come to Acts chapter 6 and 7. And we see that the apostles, Peter and some of the other apostles, were arrested again. And this time they were threatened and told not to preach in the name of Jesus. But this time they were threatened and beaten, flogged. Just to give them a glimpse of what might come if they kept preaching in the name of Jesus. And you know what they did? They kept on preaching. Church kept on growing. Acts chapter 6 and 7, we see Stephen, one of the deacons in the church. He's arrested. He's put on trial. He preaches about Jesus in the midst of his trial. And he's stoned. And the first Christian among the church is killed. He's martyred for his faith. Acts chapters 8 and 9, this persecution that happened to the church leaders and then to Stephen, one of the church deacons, spreads out in Jerusalem and it comes upon the whole church. And so in Acts chapter 9, we see that the persecution grew intense and many people that belonged to the church, that belonged to Jesus, many Christians, fled from Jerusalem to keep from being arrested. We see some even travel from city to city searching out Christians, trying to find those that fled from Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 12, that's the background to Acts chapter 12. Chapters 11 and 12, we see James and Peter arrested. James is beheaded. Peter's arrested, waiting probably what was going to come, his execution. And God miraculously breaks him out of jail. He's a fugitive. And we come to the end of chapter 12, and this is what it tells us. Read with me, verses 24 and 25. It says, but the word of God increased and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Let's pause for a second. Barnabas and Saul, where were they returning from? So let's go back to the beginning of chapter 12. I'm sorry, the end of chapter 11. And it says this. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. There was a bunch of Christians in Antioch that had fled there from Jerusalem because of the persecution. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, every one according to his own ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea, where the famine would take place, the severe part of the famine would take place. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So when we see in chapter 12, verse 25, Barnabas and Saul are returning, they're returning from taking relief to the church in Judea. They're coming back to Antioch. Now, let's just put this background together. Persecution is growing more and more intense on the church. Intense enough that Christians are picking up and moving their whole families to other cities to flee from those who might arrest them and kill them, but simply because they were Christians. Layered on top of that is a worldwide famine. And one of the most severe parts of that famine was taking place in Judea. Now things are tough for the church at this point in time. Would you agree? And we see in verse 25, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were there in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So here's a question. I'm going to ask it one more time, then we're going to start answering. It's kind of a three-part question. What did the Christians do in the midst of this pressure cooker environment that they were living in? What did Christians do? Individual Christians, what did they do? What did the church together do? And how did the Holy Spirit lead the church in the midst of this pressure cooker environment? You guys ready to answer those questions from this passage? All right. So what did the Christian do, the individual Christian? So think you, yourself, an individual like Barnabas, an individual like Saul, an individual like Simeon, who was from Niger, or Lucius of Cyrene, or Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch. What did these individuals do in the midst of this situation they were in? Read the first two verses of chapter 13. Names these individuals in verse 1, and then verse 2 it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. So put the background together with this verse, chapter 13, verse 2. The world hates the church. The world's persecuting the church. The hatred of the church seems to be growing more and more day by day, which means it's more and more dangerous to be a part of the church day by day. On top of that, this is a season that it's just hard to live in the world. There's a worldwide famine. And what do these individuals do? They gather together. They worship the Lord. they fast, and they pray. We see it over and over again in the book of Acts. You could just read through it. I would encourage you to do so, the first 12 chapters or so, and you'll see the environment that the church was living in at the time kind of increase the pressure. And what you see over and over again is the church gather and the church worship the Lord and the church pray over and over and over throughout the book of Acts. And it's no different here. The pressure is as intense as it's been in the entire existence of the church at this point. And what do the individuals who made up the church do? They didn't hunker down at home. They gathered together to pray and fast and worship the Lord. Now, this is even more remarkable when you think about these circumstances. The Christians that scattered out of Jerusalem because they were being persecuted took their families and they could have gone anywhere. But what they did is they went to different cities and then they found one another. Antioch is a prime example of this. They didn't just go to Antioch as individual families or individuals and just make their life there. They went to Antioch, made their life there, and found other Christians and gathered with them. It was just part of their DNA to gather together. You know, this word church that we see over and over again used, especially in the book of Acts, it literally means gathering, like a group of people gathered together. Which means we could go anywhere we wanted to this morning and gather together in a field in the middle of the rain or some other building, and you know what we would be? The church. Now, we're blessed with this wonderful campus and this beautiful building to be the church together in. We use it for what we do together. But without us, this would just be a building. Christians knew they needed one another, and so they gathered together. They knew God was worthy to be worshipped regardless of their circumstances, so they gathered together and worshipped God. And they knew God would give them the wisdom they needed to thrive in the midst of those circumstances, so they pursued God together through fasting and prayer. There's this idea that's been floating around our neck of the woods for a while now. It's not new. But you guys hear it often, I would assume. I hear it pretty often. That I can worship Jesus in my John boat or in my tree stand or at the beach. Which is not untrue. But you can't be with the church in the tree stand or in the John boat. Now, if y'all want to plan a Sunday on the beach, I'm down for it. But we're going to have to be there at the same time in the same place on the beach. It was part of the church's DNA to gather together. It is our name. Gathering. And so what did individual Christians do in the midst of a pressure cooker environment? The answer is they found one another and they gathered together because it was part of who they were as God's people. Because by nature, the church is a family. That's one of the pictures that the New Testament gives us of the church, a family. And so family members, they gather together. Another picture that the New Testament gives us of the church is a body. A finger on a hand is useful. So a body is gathered together, right? A finger apart from the hand is not useful at all. It's gross, right? And so we see over and over again throughout the whole New Testament, but especially here, even in the midst of persecution and pressure like the church had never seen before, when it was probably harder to gather than any other time in history, they gathered. They gathered. You track persecution through the ages, and almost every instance of persecution in history, including this instance, probably the thing that the church could have stopped doing and persecution would have ceased is if the church just stopped gathering. And the persecution would have stopped. You go to countries today where persecution exists, and that's true today. We have missionary friends in Southeast Asia, and 4 years ago, one of the pastors in that Southeast Asia country where some of our missionaries are, a pastor, a local pastor there, he received threats, and all he had to do was stop gathering with underground believers. Stop getting them together. But they kept gathering and they kept making disciples who made disciples. And eventually he was kidnapped. And you know what the believers still there are doing? Still? Gathering. Because that's who we are. Now, let me say this. I know in the midst of COVID, there's some reasons for some individuals can continue to shelter in place for now. But this season is going to come to an end. And so we need to plan for it to come to an end. We need to be plan, like if that's you, you're gathering, sheltering in place, that's wonderful. But at some point in the future, we've got to be back in the same time, at the same time, in the same place. Because that's who we are. For some reason, these Christians in the book of Acts, in the midst of this pressure, just kept on gathering together. What did the church do? We read verse 2 again. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, they worshiped the Lord. So they gathered together. They didn't just gather together to talk and encourage one another. You can do it. We can get through this. Maybe they did some of that. But the Bible tells us specifically that they worship the Lord because God's worthiness of our worship doesn't depend on our circumstances, right? Our circumstances could be awful. He would still be worthy of our worship. And so they worshiped Him. They fasted. They set aside food for a time to pursue the Lord through prayer. Pursue His will. What do we do in the midst of this season, Lord? How do we carry out Your will? What is Your will in the midst of this season? They fasted and they prayed. So we don't just simply gather. We gather and we worship the Lord. We gather and we pray. In the coming weeks, we will gather for a time, we haven't set the date yet, but we'll gather for a time of dedicated prayer. For those of us who have the ability physically to fast, some of us will fast during that time. We're going to follow the example we see here. In the midst of, I don't know if you noticed, but the pressure's been increasing on us. Not like here in the book of Acts, but the pressure on the church is increasing for us, where we live. We're in a time where we could say, let's just sit back for a while and let it pass. But we don't see the church do that in the book of Acts. So we're not either. We're going to keep gathering. We're going to keep worshiping. And we're even going to seek the Lord through fasting and prayer in the days ahead. You guys down to do that? Yeah, me too. That same pastor a moment ago, I got to meet him once, and he was gathered with seven other believers. That was their church, in an apartment that he owned. And they used for ministry and to gather, and some folks lived there. And some of the people that gathered with them didn't have any hymns in their language. So they had put a hymn book together of hymns that they had written in their language. And you know what they do when they gather? Even though there was a growing threat of persecution on them, they'd sing to the Lord. Because he was worthy. Isn't he worthy? What does a Christian do in the midst of growing pressure? Teenagers, young Christians, what should you do in the midst of growing pressure on you that's pushing back against your faith in Jesus and the way he calls you to live? You surround yourself with brothers and sisters. You gather with your church family. And what do? Well, we worship the King. We seek him through fasting and prayer. It's pretty simple, isn't it? This isn't one of those hard to understand passages in the Bible where it's like, I see what it says, but I'm not sure what it says. This is real, just like black and white. This is what the church did in a similar time to ours. A much harder time than ours, by the way, but a similar time to ours. And finally, how did the Lord lead his people during this season? How did the Holy Spirit lead his people during this season? Look at verse 24. Verse 24 of chapter 12, we see what God's doing. It says, but the word of God increased and multiplied. We hear this refrain throughout Acts. And the Lord added to their number. And the number of disciples multiplied. And the word of God increased and multiplied. In other words, God kept bringing people into his church. He kept granting people, as Acts says, granting people repentance and faith. God continued to bring people into their number. Even in the midst of this season, he continued to bring people in. But not only that, look at verses 2 and 3 of 13. It says, while they were worshiping and fasting, worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, God himself, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Off to what? Well, if we were to read the rest of 13 and go all the way through chapter 28 of Acts, you know what we'd see? They sent them off to town after town after town that had not had the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in it. And they preached the gospel, and in many towns they planted churches, then they went to the next town, and the next town, and the next town. They sent them off on the first missionary journeys. So what do we see the Holy Spirit doing in the midst of an environment where increasing pressure is being put on the church? Well, the Holy Spirit is bringing people into the church, and he's sending people out of the church. Not in a bad way, like in the best way. He's sending people out of the church to plant more churches. Let's just think practically. For us right now, if we were the church at Antioch, and we were in the midst of a season that there's even more pressure on us than there is currently, And we have our people that are leading us here at Eastside. Our servants, our teachers, our deacons, some of our people that don't have official titles but serve and are in just like important parts of our body. Like Barnabas and Saul. I mean, they were the two men that the church at Antioch sent off to Judea to deliver the relief funds to help them during the famine. They just arrived back, and what does the Holy Spirit do? You guys need to say bye to them because I'm going to use them somewhere else. It's like, wait, but Jesus, like, you don't understand. We need them here. We need their gifts, their abilities, their ability to lead, the particular ways they serve. We need them here, especially during this season. We're just trying to get through, Lord. Why would you raise people up and send them out from us? That's what he did. He was bringing people in. He was sending, raising disciples up and sending them out. So what does the Holy Spirit intend on doing in us during a season? Whether it's this season we're in now or some other season down the road, where the response of the world may be to hunker down and let the season pass. To hold on to resources so that we can just get through it and get back to normal eventually. What does the Holy Spirit expect of His gathered people? Well, He expects to keep adding to their number. And He expects to raise up leaders and send them out to plant more churches, start more gatherings. That's what the Holy Spirit did here. And that's what I'm praying He'll do here among us. What kind of light would it shine into the world to see a body of gathered believers and the Lord working in us in such a way that He just keeps adding to our number while at the same time raising people up among us and sending us out to strengthen other believers and lead other people to Him? What kind of witness would that be, especially in the midst of a time like right now? The world would pay attention to that. And indeed, they paid attention to that at the church in Acts too. Acts also. Do you see it? So I just want to ask it one more time. Let's read this passage one more time, and we're going to just ask it one more time. But the word of God increased and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Let's put it in real concrete terms. The church today, we're not supposed to be primarily fighting for political power. Or primarily fighting for cultural influence and respect. Or trying to protect our reputations for being maligned. Or even hunkering down until this season's over. We gather together. We worship the Lord. We seek Him, His will for us through fasting and prayer, and we watch Him add to our number and raise people up from our midst and send them out over and over and over and over. Wouldn't that be exciting? Yeah, it would. I was on my way home last night from my parents' house. Me and the kids went to see my parents in Auburn, and we usually stop in Phoenix City on the way home because there's a Chick-fil-A there. And called Charlotte and pulled in the parking lot, and I was like, oh, man, like, I thought this would be fast, but this line is crazy. It's two cars, it's double line, and, like, we're wrapped around the parking lot. So we may be, like, 9:30 or 10 getting home. Well, and I'm telling you, I don't know how many cars. It was a bunch of cars. And it was two lines long. But you know what else was out in that parking lot? There was, like, 15 Chick-fil-A employees running around with iPads and headphones and, like, taking people's orders. And we were through there in about 10 minutes. It was amazing. And you know why? It was because they know what they do. And when things got hard, they just made sure they kept on doing what they do. And they're doing a good job. So, church, in a similar fashion, people see us and they think they're probably going to be slowed down for a while. And that's okay. That's just part of the season. That's not how the Lord works. He intends to add to our number and send us out. So we pray for that. Perhaps He's leading you to become part of our number today by placing faith in Jesus. Perhaps He's just leading you to pray for that end. Lord, add to our number. Raise people up in our midst and send them out. Perhaps He's just leading you to worship Him as we close our service this morning. However he's leading you, I want to encourage you to respond. Let's pray. Father, we love You. And we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Even in the midst of days that we certainly did not see coming and pressures we never dreamed of being under. God, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. God, we thank You for the example of Your word in Acts. We thank You that our situation is much better than theirs. We're still blessed in so many ways, enjoy so many freedoms. We thank You for that. But Lord, we thank You for the glimpse we get to see in Your work, of Your work in Your church, among Your people. The gift of Your church to Your people, of individual Christians to gather together. In the work that You call us to do in the church of worshiping You and seeking You through prayer and fasting. God, we pray that that would become a regular reality among us here at Eastside, of pursuing You regardless of what our outside circumstances are. Father, we pray that what we see You doing here in Acts, constantly adding to their number for Your name's sake and constantly raising people among Your church up and sending them out. God, we pray that that would be a reality for us. Lord, even in the midst of a season with increasing pressure, God, we pray that You would add to our number and add to our number and add to our number. And we pray as You do that, You would raise leaders up, raise missionaries up, raise church leaders, teachers, pastors,